Good afternoon. We're going to continue with our media availabilities this afternoon here at Bristol Motor Speedway, and we've now been joined by Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's white chocolate Toyota this weekend here at Bristol. We will open up for questions for Kyle. If you have one, please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. Who would like to start us off? All right, we'll go with Mark.
I'm Mark Garrow, PRN. Kyle, I asked the same question to Kevin Harvick when he was in here this morning. You know, drivers search their whole career to be in that sweet spot where they show up every week and they know they have the crew, the car, the team, everything to win each and every week. How do you feel since you're in that situation like Kevin where you guys are just clicking so well right now? What's it feel like to show up every week and have that kind of a serious chance?
I mean, obviously, it's a huge confidence boost in being able to come to the racetrack with that sort of strength and how having everything kind of work together. So, you know, it's been a long time, I guess, in being with different teams and different crew chiefs and different peoples that I've felt this strong. But I've had this sort of thing on the Xfinity side with many of crew chiefs, you know, whether it's been Radcliffe or Adam or Chris Gale, you know, a few of them on the Xfinity side. And Dave, we felt like we had that going for a couple years on the Cup side with Dave, but there is just something maybe a little bit more about myself and Adam and the team that we have. Many of the team guys, a couple of them are the same as what they were back with Dave many years ago, and a few of them are from the Xfinity team. When I felt so good with Adam on the Xfinity side, we brought some of those guys over, and we've kind of mixed and blended some other guys over the years here and there. So it's certainly been very rewarding to all of them, I'm sure, as well as me, to have this group right now, and hopefully we can keep it together for a long time.
All right. Get a microphone to Bob, please, up front.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Casey Kane leaving Cup racing. He hasn't even turned 40 yet. We saw Carl Edwards leave before he turned 40. Seeing that, are you going to be more like them, or are you going to be more like Harvick and some of these other guys racing into their 40s?
I've asked my accountant that question, and he says I'm screwed. So I gotta keep going. I got way too much debt. So unfortunately, I don't think I can retire as soon as the rest of those guys are currently at the moment. We'll see how things go in the future with what I got going on. So, you know, we've gone through a lot of change over the years with packages and cars and things like that in the Cup Series, and I've been around for a few of them, maybe not as many as some other guys, like Jimmy, most notably, and Kurt. But, you know, it still feels like there's some opportunity to excel, and you hope that you can excel. Obviously, the better drivers, the more talented drivers should always shine and come to the top, and, you know, maybe we can still have that opportunity with whatever new package is coming, if it is coming, and that we'll see what happens in that regard.
All right. Kelly, go ahead.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Kyle, two things. The first, on Casey, you've raced against him your whole career since you came in. Just kind of your thoughts on what type of competitor he is and maybe how everybody should think of him when he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, you know, referring back to Casey, it's I don't know why the timing seems right for him, but that's his decision. He has to make that. So, you know, none of us can ever question somebody else's decisions that they make. And, you know, I'm all for a guy if they say that they just don't feel it anymore, that they step away. So that I'm perfectly okay with that. Casey was a fierce competitor in the Evernham days. I remember them nine Dodges every week going to the racetrack, being fast, and all of us chasing them and wondering what they had going on. So it kind of goes in cycles and what all happens and things, and Casey was on top of the cycle once upon a time, you know, and certainly racing with him over the years has been good. I'm sure we've battled for wins here or there on both the Xfinity side and the Cup side. We've also battled for 15th place finishes and ended up crashing each other a few times, so that's always been out there. But, you know, he's always been a respected competitor and one that everybody respects out there on the racetrack, and you tend to try to not get into them, but, you know, you do make mistakes. We've all done that, and I have with Casey, most notably a couple of years ago, when I think it was three times we ran into him and crashed every time. So certainly I'm sure he probably feels like he's still behind on that of getting me back, but overall. It's been fun over the years, and I wish him the best in finishing out this year strong and maybe even contending here before it's over.
And second, a couple months ago when I asked you really weren't paying that much yet attention to the regular season championship. Now that we're closing in on that, has that changed at all? Any more focus or emphasis or caring for it?
Yeah, the last couple weeks, certainly. You know, we're trying to make sure that that we can close the regular season with that championship, get those bonus points. That's what's most meaningful is those bonus points to carry you on through each round of the chase. You get those at every start. So that's going to be important. You know, as far as what we can do to make sure that we still achieve that is just run strong. Points are going to take care of themselves if you're running up front and doing all the right things. You know, certainly last week Harvick won both stages. We finished second in both stages, and then he won the race, and we finished third. So, I mean, that was as close as we could be the whole day and not lose too much ground to him. He's the closest competitor, even though they're still kind of a ways back. But if you have a bad week here in the next couple weeks and erase that deficit, it's going to be a close battle all the way to, you know, to the finish of the regular season.
All right. We're going to go Woody, Jenna, and then Jeff.
Woody came with MRN. Kyle, just wanted to ask you a little bit about your throwback scheme coming up for Darlington, how that came about and how it's been to kind of hang out with Ernie Irvin a little bit and putting that all together and the reveal and all that was pretty cool.
Thanks. You know, just talking with our partners at M&M's and Skittles and Snickers and trying to decide who wanted to take the Darlington race, knowing that it's always the throwback scheme. And, you know, Mars hasn't participated in that yet. And last year gave up that race for Interstate to be able to participate in that race. And so this year around, it was a Mars race, a chocolate race, but then they traded it to Skittles, and we ended up being able to do the throwback scheme with Ernie Irvin there. So we knew as soon as we could get Skittles on that we knew which one. It was pretty simple which one to go back to, you know. So having Ernie being involved in the whole unveil and things like that was pretty special, having him being there and being able to talk with him and kind of reminisce some of the stories of that car and what they were able to do in that year. And I think it was the year before he ended up retiring that he ran that scheme. So it was pretty late in his career. And it'll be nice to have him there and have an opportunity to, you know, have his name on the car and to be able to go out there and hopefully put it in victory lane.
All right, Jenna.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Kyle, some of these Elliot and Casey, some of these guys, they've cited that they want to do more things. They want to spend more time with their kids. You're a hands-on good father. Do you ever think or worry about things that you miss or you don't have enough time to do because of this schedule?
Absolutely. Probably not right now with Brexton being three, but I'm sure when he's five, six, seven, you know, a couple of years, it's going to be tough because if he's interested in this racing thing and wants to take on that, you know, there's going to be times where he's racing during the week or even on the weekends that I'm not going to be able to go. You know, it's going to be him and his grandfather and his other grandfather and some other helps, you know, that are going to be taking him and racing around and doing the things that other drivers have done to get themselves to the point and where they're at now. So I don't think you have to start young. You don't have to start at five. You know, you've seen myself. I was 13 when I started. My brother was 15 when he started. William Byron was 13. A bunch of other guys were, you know, sixes and sevens and eights and things like that. So I don't know that it's all that important or necessary to start young, but if that's what he wants to do, then we'll help him out and do that. So it does worry you a little bit and stress you a little bit that you won't be there and seeing some of those experiences and growing up. But with technology today, at least that's an added benefit than what it was years ago in FaceTime and videos and people being at the racetrack and filming races and broadcasting them online and things. So, you know, that certainly will help.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com. Kyle, at the beginning of the year, there was some concern from some of the drivers, including yourself, about the telemetry data being shared more openly of NASCAR making it available. And you were saying this might help people sort of catch you. Doesn't really seem like that's been the case, like for you and Truex and Harvick, at least. Was that overplayed? And like, how has that evolved as the season's gone on throughout the garage?
I'm still not a fan of it. You know, it's free. I mean, it's out there. And, from what I understand, I do hear some of the backmarker teams don't get it. So I don't know why they don't get it. That's kind of interesting to me. how all it does is strengthen the top teams again and not do anything for the bottom teams. I could be wrong, but from what I understand, that's the truth. So I don't like it because it's free information. At least when you're in a team and you share within your own organization, I think that that's fine and that's okay because we all agree to that when we sign up to be with our teams. But, you know, as far as being able to just give out your information to every other single driver out there, that certainly doesn't it's just not – I'm not a fan. I wouldn't say that it hasn't helped them. You know, the areas in which you have to get – okay, so back in the day when you won races in the 90s, whatever, you could be sloppy and win a race, right? Now we're down to the cars. We're talking about thousandths of an inch making our cars faster or not, right? I mean, back in the day it was lick your thumb, look at it. Yep, looks good. All right, let's go. You know, then the tape measure became an important tool, right? And they were measuring in inches. Then they were measuring in sixteenths of an inches. Now we're measuring in thousandths of inches. Same can be said for drivers. You know, back in the day, drivers were probably just watching each other, standing on top of the hauler, figuring it all out. Then comes Dartfish. Then comes telemetry. Then comes data sharing within your own team. Now it becomes sharing within the whole garage area. So everything is becoming smaller, 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 smaller to try to find an advantage. And, you know, you got to be able to utilize those tools the best you can when you're at the top.
All right. We'll take our final question from Claire.
Right?
Claire B. Lang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Looking ahead to Darlington, you think about Ernie Irvin, and I think about you and Ernie and how he was badass and he was kind of out there in his era. What do you know about what he was at the time and, you know, what you thought of his racing and that sort of thing?
From what I do know, he was, you know, a bit rough around the edges a little bit sometimes and drove really, really hard and sometimes a bit over himself or over his equipment at times and caused some chaos and even once had to stand up in the driver's meeting and apologize to everybody for being not so smart sometimes. So, you know, I take a lot of, I guess we can say that we're a lot the same or a little the same. I'm not sure. But overall, you know, he's been pretty cool to be around and talk about and some of those things and him talking about me and kind of what he's seen. And so, you know, it'll be neat to get to Darlington and to be able to run that scheme. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Kyle, we appreciate your time today. Thanks. And wish you best of luck this weekend.